Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. 9:27 here on the People Speak. I'm Jeff. Hope you're having a good morning. Going to be talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. I'll tell you what, let me go ahead and take our first break and we'll see if we can get this worked out. You're listening to the People Speak on Rural Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Again, we're talking today with Congressman Mike Bost.
In August, and in my case, I'll go back to district, but also travel all over dealing with VA stuff during that time that we're not in session through August and first week of September. We're also out here in D.C. They're gearing up for the congressional baseball game, which is a great charity. They play every year, and they played since 1906. But tonight is the ball game, and I'm on the team. I don't play much, but I do coach first base this year, but it is a charity where Republicans play the Democrats, and right now I think that they have raised, I think they said today, about $1.3 million for this game and the Nat Stadium. Of course, there's also talk of a group of protesters coming in to try to block it from environmentalists that are frustrated over things, so we'll see how it plays out tonight.
Yeah, hopefully it goes good. I mean, that's a good, you know, sporting event, kind of get along and stuff. And
yeah, it's been played for years. It's a good, positive thing. It is done for charity, and it's, yeah.
Well, we've got lots of things going on right now. I guess we can talk. One of the things was dealt with the VA.
Yeah, we had this last week, a thing that occurred was a PACT Act. Was passed over to the Senate, and let me tell you that, you know, the House, we passed it to the Senate, about since 9/11, 3.5 million service members have been exposed to burn pits and other toxins during the services. This bill, you know, ensures that they can get the care and benefits they're earning. It codifies the presumption of service connected between exposures and illnesses and framework that the VA has been using for the past years as pilot program to ensure generations of veterans have a solid process in place to file a disability claim that might be linked to their service connection based on toxic exposures. It also authorizes 31 new medical facilities leases and then simplifies the process by which they can sign new medical leases to actually make sure they can provide this care. It also expands health care eligibility for five years of service to 10 years, and then veterans will receive a clinical toxin exposure screening at least once every 5 years. It'll also ensure that VA has the ability to serve the needs of the veterans that are already on without overloading and burdening the system. That being said, we passed that last week to the Senate, and the Senate yesterday was having trouble getting the cloture vote. So they have to have 60 votes before they have to have 50 plus one vote, you know. So they have to have 60 votes before they have a simple majority to make it pass. There's some people over there holding out, I think, and the argument is that there was some mandatory spending or some discretionary spending, about $400 billion that was moved over from discretionary to mandatory, which really changes the score of the bill. I knew that was something that we would try to straighten out, even if it did pass, to get it back under discretionary spending, because we're already spending that money. And right now, I think that's what the argument is in the Senate. So we'll see if they actually remove that over and put it back under discretionary spending instead of mandatory. But hopefully we'll be able to get this out and get our vets taken care of so we don't have what we had with Blue Water Navy and also Agent Orange for years.
Right. Definitely something that needs to be addressed and needed to be addressed for a period of time. And now it's being addressed. So.
Right.
Also on the VA, is there any updates on any? I know there was some consolidations and some changes going on with facilities.
Let me explain what's going on with that. That was part of the original Mission Act. In the Mission Act, there was a thing called AIR, which is asset realignment. And in the AIR, there was a commission that would be put in place of expertise or experts that from the field of healthcare and for distribution of healthcare to analyze what all is going on in the VA, with to analyze all of our assets and realign the assets to better provide for the veterans. And because we knew that if all of a sudden, you know, you have a VA hospital and you have a 40-bed facility and you only have two VA patients a year, and they all of a sudden have to close that facility or reassign that facility or something to better provide for the veterans and be more efficient to provide veterans services around other places. What we did was, in that Mission Act, we put in there the AIR Commission. And so what that does is it takes it away from Congress. Well, the way the AIR Commission works is that that we were supposed to appoint the members. The law said that. So many members from the Senate, so many members from the House, and not members, but these experts, okay? So many from the administration, all had people that were on this nine-member commission. Well, the nine-member commission was supposed to be filled last year or even before that, and then the VA was supposed to come out with their recommendations of what their proposed changes were to redirect services and the operations of social services. And the reason we did that, like I said, was to take it out of Congress so they wouldn't play politics with it. But all of a sudden somebody doesn't want their facility reduced in their capacity, even though they haven't been at that capacity for 40 years. Instead, what happened is the AIR Commission or the AIR recommendation was passed out of the VA, and we were still a couple members short on the board to be approved through the Senate. And certain senators decided that it was going to negatively affect their states on closures of some of these hospitals that I just described. And then all of a sudden they decided they're not going to do their job and appoint the people in the AIR Commission. So as it is, we're going to contend down a path of not being able to sensibly redirect how we provide care for our veterans. Instead, we're going to be wasting money on facilities that may only house one not being used to the best of their capacity, so that somebody politically can say, I've got a VA in my district or in my state. But then they look like, well, they stood up for them. So they're more taking care about the bureaucrats and the people working in the facilities than they are about taking care of the veterans. So that problem is out there, and it's real frustrating to see it happen because we had already passed the law and now they've just decided not to implement.
Okay. I'll tell you what, we got another break here. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way. And we will come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. Again, talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. And we're talking about a couple things before we went on break. Another thing that's in the news here lately is deals with truck parking.
You bet. So my bill last week was moved out of committee. The Truck Parking Improvement Act passed out of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee with bipartisan support. And now it waits on a vote on the floor with a number of bipartisan co-sponsors, support groups. And I think it should be probably passed fairly quickly once we get it to the floor. You know, everybody knows, especially your listeners, that I grew up in a trucking company and spent my years driving on the road and dispatching and knowing how and dealing with logbooks and everything the way the trucking companies work. But, you know, the lack of truck parking space is well known. Matter of fact, there's been a lot of studies since even 2001 that show how dangerous it is with the lack of truck parking and why it messes with the safety. And, you know, oftentimes drivers are unable to find safe places to park, and you can see that in every interstate, whether it's on the off ramps on the rest areas, or the on ramps of a rest area, or the off ramps to the interstate itself, or the on ramps to the interstate itself. You see trucks parked there because there's no place safe for them to park, and it's not safe for them, Jeff. In the fact that they're out and away, and you know, we've had incidents where people are robbed and beat. And actually killed for the commercial drivers parking in the wrong, in non-safe places. Not only that, it's unsafe for the people who are driving for non-commercial interests or driving for work, but they don't fall under the rules of truckers. And, you know, truckers are required to have so many hours rest, stop after so many hours, log it and pay attention to that. Somebody might be on vacation or driving for another work situation, and they end up pushing themselves to the limit. All of a sudden you get to swerving, or because you're falling asleep, or you get swerving because you're paying attention to your cell phone or not paying attention to the road, and all of a sudden you have more obstacles to hit out there. Well, what this bill does is it expands the number of parking options for long-haul truckers, and it establishes a set-aside source of funding from the existing U.S. Department of Transportation funding. And this will better incentivize states to expand their parking at their rest areas and everything like that, or even create new ones completely. You know, this will keep our roads safer. It'll also, it's a common sense solution to help ease a supply chain issue, because the estimates show that most truckers spend as much as an hour of their normal drive time searching for a safe parking space. And I was glad that, you know, the TNI chairman, the Democrat chairman, DeFazio, finally realized how important this was. He got on board with it, and that's the way we remove it so quick. I'm glad to do it. And like I said, but it's been too long coming since they've been talking about this since 2001.
Right. That's what a lot of people, and I learned when I was going to get my CDL, is, you know, you have only so many hours a day you can drive, and you have to stop. It's not an option.
Right. It's not an option. You know, this is what's required. And years ago, the option would be that you kept two logbooks. That's not the right thing to do. It's lying. But back in the 70s, you know, you could do what they call stacking logbooks, and you'd basically keep driving 24 hours a day. But now you have the electronic logbooks, and they automatically not only track your hours and everything like that, but track your GPS, track what you're doing, everything like that. And when it's time to stop, you've got to stop, or you're going to face a fine or a reduction in some sort of pay, depending on your employer.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is a good thing.
And the employer will foot the fine if you don't if they don't enforce it.
Right.
So
this is a good thing, like you said, keeps the driver safe and everything. So
yeah, it's vitally important, and we're glad we got it to this point. We just hope we can get it called on the floor as quick as possible.
Another thing back here closer to home again, Prairie du Rocher is in the news.
Yeah, Prairie du Rocher. This year marks the 300th anniversary of Prairie du Rocher, and I introduced a bill establishing the Prairie du Rocher French Colonial National Historic Park. You know, the park would include sites at Prairie du Rocher, Kaskaskia, Fort de Chartres, and Prairie du Rocher was founded in 1722 by the French, and once represented the western boundaries of the United States. It is vitally important that we preserve our history and well into the future. You and I were talking off break. I was actually part of an explorer post in high school, a Boy Scout explorer post, that we were French reenactments of the French and Indian period. That is the time that both Fort de Chartres and Prairie du Rocher and Kaskaskia, they were all up and operating during that time. And we understand we were a territory. We weren't a state. We were a territory at that time. And had a unique, and is a unique history. And what's really wild is that Prairie du Rocher, I was talking to him the other day, and they made a new discovery of where the original fort was. And so as they're doing the digs and everything there like that, this is all history that should be maintained for our children and future generations, so that they can have the opportunity to know and understand how our state came to be, how the territory changed into a state, how we purchased from the French, the process by that it was taken. And then as the gateway moved out through St. Louis, that then became the West, where the West before was right in our backyard.
Right. That's and like I said, I really enjoy that kind of stuff. Of course, I'm a history buff, but you know.
Me too. You know that. And it's just really, you know, we want to make sure those sites are taken care of. One of the things for sure, those sites, we have to make sure they're taken care of and upgraded and allowed to show the real history that was there, but also they have to be protected from flooding. And that's always a vitally important thing, because not only the community and the people that live there, but all that history can be put underwater and can be lost.
Very true. Very true. That's, you know, history is important, and I think some people would like to erase some of it, but that's another topic we won't even get into today.
But. You know, if you don't want to repeat history, make sure you remember it.
Exactly. Another big topic in the news here lately is Roe versus Wade.
Oh, yeah. So a couple weeks ago, the Supreme Court made a decision as well. And just so you know, if anyone asks, I agree with that decision. You know, I've been proudly pro-life my entire life. As a matter of fact, it was the reason I got involved in politics originally was a position that both my wife and I have, and that is the importance of life. But that Supreme Court decision, basically, it restores the power to the American people to decide. So many people are lying about it and saying, oh, this takes away a woman's right to abortion. No, it takes away the ability for the federal government to override states on state law, and the state laws can decide. Now, I wish that Illinois had less restrictive, more restrictive abortion law than they actually have. But the states around us, you know, they basically are anti-abortion states. So Illinois is the only one that's there, but it's not this. Supreme Court didn't take away the right of a woman's right to an abortion. It took away the right of the federal government to overrule states on what they need and what they want to put in their laws. You know, and a lot of our Democrat colleagues are pushing forward with their abortion and try to take it over from the state, which the Supreme Court has already made their decision. And the decision is you're not going to violate the 10th Amendment in this case. You know, it prohibits states from imposing limitations on abortion services one way or the other. And so I've got a Democrat friends on the other side of the aisle, and well, Democrat colleagues on the other side of the aisle, that is the most important thing, and they will take the one-off issue. You know, if rape, incest, life, mother, you know, all those things they want to bring up, and I understand they want to bring it up, but unfortunately, there is a lot of other issues and a lot of science that have been changed a lot since Roe versus Wade. When life begins, when that child in the womb can feel pain. But what about the heartbeat when that starts? Isn't that a legitimate time to say, hey, there's life there? And if we demean life at one end, then why is it, if we're saying that that's useless life in the womb, at what point do we say that a person ages out and is no longer productive, that all of a sudden we start down that path? You know, we need to make sure that the sanctity of life is abided for and are taken care of. But that whole right to life, that right to life begins at the time that life starts. And so the state of Illinois has to deal with it. Right now, many of the Democrats are saying, oh, this is a big issue with the electorate. And I think probably a bigger issue with the electorate is inflation and gas prices. And when all polling shows that, you can still talk about the other issues. But the thing is, right now, people are more worried, not about that Supreme Court ruling, but they are worried about, hey, how do I put food on the table for my family right now? How do I put enough gas in my car to get to work? How can I make sure that my money is actually buying as much as it used to? And I don't know if you saw it or not, but the just today they came out. You know, every month they do what the GDP is doing, and they were expecting the GDP to be up 0.3%. Instead, it's down 0.9%. So it is a completely different than what they thought, which shows that we are in a recession. It's wild that the administration and many Democrats want to change the long-term description of what recession is. Recession is two consecutive quarters where you have a decrease in the GDP. That's where we're at. So basically, the overflooding of our system with money that was given out in Biden's last partisan COVID bill, along with the not pursuing gas production and keeping ourselves energy independent, has proved out to show that it drove us into a recession when we were booming before all these policies came in place. So, you know, that's what we're spending a lot of time fighting here, Jeff.
Right. I know many experts had been saying all along that, you know, this is going to end up in a recession that we haven't seen the likes of before.
That's right. And because they just keep up. And now, you know, they're still arguing with Manchin in the Senate, still trying to do the Build Back Crazy bill. I'm sorry, they call it Build Back Better. I call it Build Back Crazy. because it is crazy when your own economic experts, Democrat advisors, have said you can't do this. This will cause rapid and rampant inflation and drive us into a recession. Well, we're there, and they're still talking about making it worse by spending more.
It looks like we're out of time, but Congressman, thanks for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you, and hopefully we'll be back on with you shortly. And everybody needs to go out and start doing those county fairs that are going on. I was at Monroe County Fair before I flew out here this week. Enjoy those. It's a great time to be out, and Southern Illinois is a great place to do it.
All right. Of course, the DuCoin Fair coming up as well.
Yeah, it is, too. That's right.
So, all right. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak today. And that will wrap things up. I'm Jeff. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.